North Georgia Business Radio presents The Best of Business Radio X. Business Radio X serves as the voice of business in cities around the country, and every day, Business Radio X lets you hear from business leaders, executives, managers, and business owners, allowing them to share their stories of success. I'm Mike Salmon, and today on the show, we're going to share some of the conversations heard recently in our Business Radio X studio in Gwinnett County. Today on the show, you'll hear how to use your healthcare expenses to lower your taxes. And you'll meet two high-energy sales and marketing experts who will share some eye-opening business secrets that will save you money and double your sales. But up first, how to take your social media to new heights. On a recent episode of How's Your E-Presence on Business Radio X, host Mark Galvin and guest Virginia Bowman with Synergetic Media discussed, among other things, how to track your return on investment when producing online videos and how social media is getting even more personal.
We are in a time where social media is no longer embracing the one-to-many set of marketing. Now what they're doing is they're focused on the one-to-one. And the reason is they don't lose their audience. They don't want to lose users, because users were getting tired of getting spam and getting tons of data that they didn't want to see. So now all the algorithms are really focused on when you post something that is genuinely you and it's something about you. So you don't have a link to something else where you just went out and grabbed a YouTube video and dropped it. What you're sharing is something about you find is valuable, something you think is important. So in 2019, here's what I'd like to give all of you guys, everyone listening, if you're in business, how are you going to drive your social media to a new level? I want you to think about a couple things. If you're going to share an article, and there's great data out there. So if you're interested in sharing information from, say, Harvard Business Review, well, do a summary on it. Don't post the whole article and post a picture, because that will serve it up higher. I want all of you to think about this. How can you serve content that you know your audience will like? How do you serve content that you know your audience will respond to and share? And this is the trick I want you to think about. If you would not want to read that content, don't share it. Have you ever sat down and you're going to post something and you're wondering, gosh, should I post this or shouldn't I? I'm not sure if my audience will like that or not. If you're thinking that, then don't share that. Figure out a way to repackage it so that you know that your audience would receive it better. This is one of those things. You know, have you ever seen a political post that drives you crazy, right? That is not good for your audience. So you don't want to share political posts if you don't want to upset roughly half of your audience. So avoiding that type of content, thinking, what is it that my audience wants to see? And sharing that information so that you know that they'll want to take advantage of that, or want to interact with it, or even share it or like it. So that's what's going to be very important. It needs to be more personal in 2019. The other thing that's new, Instagram is a great social media site. They just rolled out something I think is really important to highlight. You can now go on Instagram and post to multiple accounts at one time. This is brand new. This is so cool. If you own a restaurant, three restaurants, and you got one in Buckhead and one's up in Sandy Springs here in Atlanta, and maybe you got one in Nashville too, and you decided on President's Day weekend you're going to offer a 10% discount at all of them, you could go in and now create a post, create some really good-looking graphics, and you can post it to all three of your Instagram accounts at one time. Now, that's pretty darn cool. That's convenient. It's still personal because you're trying to make sure you reach that audience, but if you've got three organizations and they all can share the same thing at one time, it is a nice thing that they're serving that up or making that easier to do. So pretty darn cool. So how does someone know if they're getting an ROI from their video? How do they know if they're getting a return? What's the best way to do that? And I know this is difficult, right? Yeah. This is a tough one.
There's no simple answer to that. It goes back to anything else. You need to research. There's different ways to calculate your return on investment, and there's different goals for your video. So the first thing is to back up and say, what is your goal for the video? So before you even...
Always got to start with a goal.
Start with a plan.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I was watching a video somewhat recently produced by someone else, and it didn't have a purpose. I don't think the person thought through, what is this video for? It was an event video, but it didn't really... I mean, what was its purpose? Was it its purpose to promote brand awareness. So then the next thing to ask yourself is, once you decide the goal for the video, is where are you going to put the video? What platform are you going to put it on?
Right.
To reach
your audience.
Your audience.
Yeah.
Right. So then you want to know your audience and you want to know your goal.
Most people are going to go to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Know your audience. I think that's very important. What else is important about ROI? What is something else that people should look at?
Once you know your audience and once you know where you're going to put your video, then you can start saying, okay, what are my metrics by which I'm going to judge it? So say, for example, your goal for the video is brand awareness. Then you're mm-hmm. going to want to keep a very close eye on the number of views, the number of shares,
right,
and how long it's viewed. You can have a bunch of people click on it, but if they click right back off of it, they're not interested.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Right.
Right.
So if it's getting a lot of views and shares, that's brand awareness. Mm-hmm. Well, what if it is for conversions? So say, for example, the goal for your video is to increase conversions off your homepage. Well, you've already decided the goal. You already decided where it's positioned.
Good, yeah.
And then you need to assess conversions. To do that, you want to track data before mm-hmm. and after the video is in place. So you can then see the difference.
I need to look at, what does my website traffic look like? And
right.
Google can help you with that.
Right.
I track mine. I get an email from Google every day.
Yeah.
How many people are on the website? And create a marker and say, this is the date where I started.
Mm-hmm.
This is when I dropped the video on the website.
Yeah.
And we do know this works because people spend 40% mm-hmm. more time on a home page when there's a video. So as long as you are achieving your mission, then you know you got to get people to the page, first of all. But when they get there, they're going to spend a little more time on that page.
Right. Once you know your objective, where it's placed, and what metrics you're going to measure it by. But I'm a big believer in getting before and after metrics.
That's
because you really want to know, what is the effect that this video is having.
Right.
What I really believe is that video can supercharge your other marketing efforts. And to evaluate that, you want to see the effort with and without. So for example, say your video is part of an email blast
mm-hmm.
and the email has a call to action in it. You want to evaluate how many responses to the call to action you have in an email blast without the video and in another one with the video that supports the email.
It's a control group.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's another way of looking at that. Yeah.
Right.
And every single email that someone sends out, you need to have a call to action. So don't send out an email blast
right.
if you don't have a call of action, call to action.
It's a great way to stand out. And, you know, there's just so much to talk about on the subject as well, video and how to use video and how to craft a good video and how much to spend on a video and so forth. As more and more businesses start getting on the video bandwagon, because it works. And one of the things I have are, you know, a lot of statistics. Anyone can go online and get statistics on the effectiveness of video and all these different statistics pop up.
Right.
And so more and more businesses are utilizing video each year. I recommend don't get left behind. So right now, a lot of the videos are what I would say vanilla. So people are always on a budget. So they want to do just a straightforward video. And that's great. Put something up.
Do that.
Right.
Yeah. If you're going to do anything, if you don't, it's better to dip your toe in the water.
But for companies that want to have their videos stand out a little more, make it a little more dynamic and engaging, then motion graphics or animated elements added to it are going to do that for that video, as long as they're well done. So like anything else, you don't want to add bad spice. You want to add good spice, flavorful spice that fits. So you want to have some good talent behind producing that, but I think it can really help a video stand out.
You can have a basic video, and you could do something real simple and not have a lot of spice, as you say, and it could be forgettable. Now, you're going to spend money on that. It's going to cost you some time. You know, there's going to be some resources devoted to that. But if you spend a little bit more, if you're going to put the time into something, if you can make it pop a little more and make it an evergreen product so you can use this again and again and again, then it might be worthwhile to spend a little more money because you may get a better ROI on it.
But before we leave the subject, Mark, I really wanted to add, you know, I encourage the listeners to go and research the different types of videos. And if there's one video that a company produces, it should be the About Us video on their homepage.
Oh, why is that important?
It's the core video. It talks about who they are. You know, like when you think as a business, who am I? Who are my audience? What's unique about me? What's my personality? What are my values, my goals? What makes this company unique? Why should they care? Because why do I care?
Why do I want to do business with these people?
And, you know, one of the things about video is it humanizes your brand. Mm. And that is huge. You know, it puts a face to the name of the company. You know, so if you have one video, I would highly recommend putting your money on that one. And, you know, so when you say, how much does a video cost? So there's a lot of other types of videos than that, but that's just the one I wanted to call out. The second type would be client testimonials, would be kind of like the second runner up.
What do you think about people shooting with their cell phones? What are your thoughts about that?
They won't be very good. So you have to ask your goal. Is that okay with you? You know, the quality level, is that okay with you? Is it really just, you know, a toss away video? But I wouldn't shoot anything serious like that. And I'll tell you why, is because for one, that's not a good piece of equipment. It's better and better. You know, we all have cell phones.
Yeah, right.
But just because I have a cell phone that can take pictures doesn't make me a photographer. It doesn't mean I can do product shots or model shots. You can shoot a video with it, but it's difficult to get good quality out of it.
And sound is important too.
Yeah, you don't have a way to record your good audio. I mean, there's things that you could do, but if you really want to get into doing video, invest in a camera.
Sure.
And learn a little something about how to use the camera and study other videos. So you can learn so much from studying other people's work, both good and bad. So, you know, just watch other videos. Say, hey, that looks great. Wonder how they did that. Oh, that one's not so good. What is it about that that I didn't like? Obviously, even better, we would say hire a professional.
Right. If I run into a situation and I can do a quick native video on social media, and it is a throwaway video, though. I mean, if you think about it, if I ran into you and you said something I thought was brilliant, say, hey, let's do a quick 30-second on this, because I think this is a great point, and brought up the video, and you and I sat there and we talked for a second and said, this just happened, and I would be speaking to my audience, and I would say, this is something that's valuable, and I wanted to share it with you right now, and we shared a 30-second, and we closed it down. That is a throwaway video.
And it's fun, and you know, be extemporaneous and whip out a cell phone or whatever. That's fine for that. So you will always go back to, let's go, that first point is consider your goal.
Exactly.
What is it for?
Mm-hmm.
But you do get what you pay for. So if you want something at a higher quality, time equals money and skill equals money. If you want more skill and more time placed on your video, you know, more time with more skilled people, it'll cost more, but you'll get a better product.
Every time you and I talk about video, I learn so much more. And I constantly talk about this in my public speeches, is that you got to use video and figure out how to engage your audience with video. If it's going to be on your website, do it well.
And that's Mark Galvin and Virginia Bowman on How's Your E-Presence on Business Radio X. To hear the entire interview, visit businessradiox.com, click on the Gwinnett Studio, and then select How's Your E-Presence. Coming up next, advice on how healthcare affects your taxes, and you'll hear how the Atlantic Gladiators hockey team is helping businesses get the word out. More of North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X after this. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X. Healthcare and taxes are two subjects on everyone's mind these days, and one does affect the other. On this week's edition of The Bottom Line with Jacqueline Sheldon, host Tom and Jacqueline Sheldon shared some ideas on how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise while saving money on your taxes.
Healthcare seems to be a giant discussion, and has been for years, especially with the rising cost of healthcare.
Well, you are correct about that. You know, Americans are spending $3.9 trillion each year in healthcare costs.
That's trillion with a T.
Trillion with a T. Mm. You know, that industry makes up 18% of our gross domestic product, so that is a huge number.
Wow. We're in the wrong business.
We are.
I know that tax laws change all the time, and that's why we have you to keep up with those fun things.
That's true. They do change quite a bit.
But I've also heard, in relationship to that, being able to deduct on your tax return, deduct your health care costs. Is this true? Is it getting harder and harder to do this?
It is harder and harder to do. You know, when the Affordable Care Act came into play, which is, you know, also known as Obamacare.
Obamacare, yeah.
It changed the landscape not only for how health insurance works or health cost works, but it also changed how you can deduct those things on your tax return. You know, individuals, they still can take a deduction for their out-of-pocket medical expenses if they itemize deductions, but there are limits. For 2019, you can only deduct what is more than 10% of your adjusted gross income. So in this case, let's say you have a married couple who makes $100,000 a year. They have $12,000 out of out-of-pocket medical expenses. They would really only be able to deduct $2,000 of that. because of that 10% floor that they have to meet before they can take a deduction. Also, you know, the new tax law has increased the standard deduction, so a lot of taxpayers won't be itemizing in the first place. So there's really not a whole lot of ability for people to take those medical expenses unless they just had a ton of out-of-pocket in a year.
So are there other options available for individuals to be able to get some deductions on health care costs?
Well, there can be. There's something called a health savings account that some taxpayers could look into possibly setting up. It's called an HSA. It's kind of like a medical IRA, if you think about it from that standpoint. You're able to put money into this account tax-free each year, and then the money sits in the account at a gross tax-free. And as long as you take the money out and use it for medical purposes, there's no tax on it when you take the money out of the plan. So that can be a good possibility if you qualify. There are qualifications that have to be met.
So it really is a rainy day fund.
Well, it really is. It's a rainy day fund. Something else that we often look at is for people who maybe want to put more into their retirement plan, but maybe they've maxed out their retirement plan at work. You know, an HSA is also a good vehicle to plan for retirement, because you can also put money into the HSA plan, and then if you take that money out at retirement, it comes out tax-free to pay for medical bills in your retirement year. So it's another great strategy there to be able to get some deduction for health costs.
If I take money out of my 401k to pay medical expenses, that's going to be taxed. But if I have one of these HSAs and I take the money out of it for the medical cost, of course, it's not taxed.
You're correct on that.
That's really good to know.
And that's just part of the conversation from The Bottom Line with Jacqueline Sheldon. To hear the entire interview, visit businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and then click on The Bottom Line. Another popular show on Business Radio X is called Power Play, a show that looks at the business side of the Atlanta Gladiators hockey team. In this clip from the show, Eric Bennett, the owner of First Choice Bell's Bonds and a sponsor of the Gladiators, explains how his business gets unique exposure during the hockey games. The show is hosted by Gladiators president Scott Hendrickson.
Have you been to a game since you guys have been a partner?
I've actually come to two.
Okay.
We had a give out night, you know, where we give away stuff on the tape, you
yep.
know, out
yep.
front. That was a couple Fridays ago. And then I come to the partner game
That's right.
the other night.
Yeah, that was a great game, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, it was, yeah.
So I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. What's it like as a business owner to say, I spent some money on something with the Gladiators, right? And now all of a sudden over the PA, the LEDs, the guys going to the penalty box, and you're hearing the First Choice Bail Bonds penalty box. What's that like as a business owner?
It's amazing to just hear your name and to be a part. We give out, I don't know, like 2,000 different items the other night.
Oh,
at
cool.
the Star Wars night. That's
yeah,
the night it
okay.
was.
That's the night that I went to last
yeah,
year. That's
yeah.
crazy fun.
Yeah.
They had a lot of fun.
So we give out hockey pucks, you
okay.
know, that had, and I mean, Becky, the lady back at when she ordered them, I was like, well, this will be all right, you know. But man, what a hit. Hockey
yeah.
pucks. I mean, who would have thought that little styrofoam hockey pucks would have
right.
been such a hit? But
right.
but it was really good. And I've never been a hockey fan and still don't understand. I mean, I still got no idea
right.
what happens. All I know is when they hit a goal, the loud noise
yeah,
goes off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 And, but it is a lot of fun. I just appreciate the opportunity to be a part. And is it okay if I give a shout out to Kyle?
Absolutely.
You know, the guy that works at your office.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's just been over backwards to help me and
good.
To help me understand, because this is all new to me. I've never done anything like this in my life. And so he has really been over backwards to help me and to help me benefit the most from. It's real easy for somebody to come on board and say, we want you to give us some money and this is what we want you to do.
Right.
But then to follow up and say, this is what we need to be doing. This is where, you know, mm-hmm. come to this night. This is a great night to be here. You should be handing out stuff. The follow-up has been really, really nice. So I feel like I'm getting value for my investment, other than me having to figure it out on my own, saying, well, this I guess I could go this night.
Kyle just got a raise.
Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that we're doing what we said we would do.
And that's a small snippet from an interview on the Atlanta Gladiators show Power Play on Business Radio X. To hear the entire interview, visit businessradiox.com and search for Power Play, and the shows will pop right up. Coming up next on the Best of Business Radio X, two sales and marketing experts share their stories and secrets on how to take your business to the next level. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X, where we are sharing some of our recent on-air interviews. Tom Pilotti and Ryan Sowers are good at what they do, and they'll be the first to tell you that. Tom and Ryan each own their own sales and marketing companies that help businesses make money. We had a great and fun roundtable discussion with the two during a recent episode of Gwinnett Business Radio, a weekly show hosted by myself and Stephen Julian. Tom Pilotti World. Well, go ahead and tell us what your company does.
Sure. Basically, Tom Pilotti Worldwide and TomPilotti.com. Basically, I am a rainmaker, for lack of a better term. I have media clients. I have industrial clients. I do sales training. I cut my teeth right out of college. I woke up one night after drinking beer all night and found an ad in the college paper that said they wanted an ad director. I applied, got it, found out I could make a grand or two a month running around selling ads to ice cream and Subway and donut places, and from there it just took off. Was then hired away by a headhunter into the good folks at 3M that make plastic eyeballs and post-it notes, and got into their billboard business, and just from there applied everything I learned from a street level all the way up, and then got tired of working for people I was smarter than, and then just started teaching. But if we get along and you're willing to drink the Tom Pilotti Kool-Aid, I will fix your business.
You got a really cool story, and we're going to share that story in just a second. Let me pull Ryan in. Ryan, Sowers Consulting Strategies, talk about what your company does.
You know, along the lines of Tom, I do a lot of different things. I come at it a little bit different way. You know, I'm a practitioner, and I'm working on my doctorate in organizational leadership. So why do I do that? Because I want to embody the best of leadership to help people through emotional intelligence, personality change, sales, marketing behaviors. Those are my specialties. I speak around the country, you know, really bringing out the best in people, doing it the right way, getting them to maximize sales performance correctly, digging deep, as Tom and I were talking about before the show, and getting them to not tell me why they can't do it, but why they can, and there's always a way.
Tom, tell your story, because you started with zero.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, when you're young and you start drinking and smoking dope and this, that, and the other as a kid, you never know, and it's a message for parents, too. You never know what you're going to be allergic to. And in times gone by, when I was a garbage can, I'll try some of that, and I did, and I found out that I was allergic to cocaine and alcohol. And it cycled through my life to where it was up and down, and then it finally being introduced to crack cocaine. And it doesn't discriminate. You can be a world leader, or you can be a bum on the side of the road, but it will literally take everything that you have. And I tried to fight it my own. It is a spiritual illness, and I am pleased to tell you that by the grace of God, I sit here healed, whole.
Working with CEOs and businesses and trying to explain how they can double their sales and double their profits is probably nothing compared to what you've gone through.
No,
this is probably easy.
You can't tell me it can't be done. I started this consulting business on a park bench, living in a homeless shelter with a burner phone. And, you know, I traded a food stamps card for a laptop, and that was the beginning of this. And now I get to tell this story. My dad is a retired New York City Police Department officer, so you could imagine his delight having to bail my monkey out of jail over and over and over because I couldn't stop doing stupid things. So with that, you become pretty adverse into overcoming adversity. So don't tell me it can't be done. You know, I'm sure Ryan would agree that one of the trajectories that I use is, if you're a CEO, I'm going to tell you, if your marketing sucks, dude, it needs to change. Or if you're not doing something right, to being able to tell the truth in the world of consulting is worth $1 million, because everybody's going to tell you what they want you to hear in order to get paid. Man, if you don't like me and you don't like what I'm saying, call me back when it hurts, because I ain't the guy for you.
So what I love is a lot of your advice and a lot of what you're doing with CEOs now. It ties back to your experience, because if you're not ready to receive help,
right,
then they're not gonna listen to what you have to say.
Correct.
So, and when it comes to our sales and marketing, to some extent, we have to hit bottom before we're willing to take the steps necessary, right? Same as an addiction. But I can see that how you train now comes out of your own experience.
Correct. And yeah. It becomes a matter of really getting to that, being able to tell the truth. And if we can't, and if you're not willing to accept that help by someone that truly wants you to do well, man, if your salespeople are walking around like droids on the street, or bobbleheads as I call them, you've not given them tools to sell on the street or something to talk about, man, how can you expect your numbers to increase?
What the biggest theme I'm seeing in all that we're doing right now is back to something that sounds ridiculous of us of a certain age, and I think we all are, human-to-human sales, human-to-human marketing. More authenticity, less perfection. People want to see humanness. They want to see real. They want to hear what Tom has to say, because when people look at getting their business turned around as an expense, they're looking at it all wrong. They need to look at it as an investment, just like you would if you go and invest in something else. If they say, well, Tom, how much are you going to cost? That's all wrong. It should be looked at as we're not in enough pain yet to do that. And human to human says, if you don't tell people the truth, even if it hurts, and I think Tom and I are both in agreement here, sometimes I've learned the hard way, if you don't tell people front end really the bottom line truth and you think they're going to change, it's like dating somebody, fighting all the time, and hoping it's going to get better when you get married. Yeah. You know, that is not the way
it goes.
It never does. So human to human is this huge focus, and it's because of all the technology, all the streaming. You know, in the streaming space, it's Apple, and it's Disney, and it's Amazon, and there's so much noise and so much stress. We're slammed, and we're buried, and we're drowning, and no one knows which way to go, and we got to slow down and get some clearness and clarity so that we can focus on first things first and last things last and start moving forward.
Ryan, I was going to ask you, you said at the very beginning you were kind of studying a doctorate, and one of the things you talked about was kind of almost as like your training comes out of people knowing who they are, personality studies, things like that. Talk a little bit more about where's your foundation coming
from.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I spent 25 years being an senior executive, senior VP of sales and marketing. So I had tons of experience, real world experience. So, and then I also teach the next generation of learners. So I'm kind of that odd bird that has the academic experience, but the real world experience, because no one wants to hear some academic guy. They're like, we don't even know what you're talking about.
Because they say if you can do, you do. And if you can't, you teach.
Right. And there's people, and I've met Tom. Tom and I got to connect early today. You know, there's people I see that they know how to do it. And he knows how to do it. People is, Ryan, why are you still out selling? Because I love it. I love it. There's never a day I'm not going to sell, because the day I can't sell, I won't. So to answer your question, yes, I'm certified with DISC personalities. I'm certified with Myers-Briggs type indicator. I got certified in emotional intelligence. Why? The more we can understand what's going on in the human mind, we can't diagnose fully what's going on in an organization, the culture, because I can go in and change sales, but if the ultimate leadership's not on board, the salespeople are going to revert. I can go change the marketing strategy, but if the ultimate people at the top aren't buying in, no deal. Or vice versa. If the salespeople are like, they're not going to enforce this, we're going to listen because we have to, not because we want to. All these things have been done so I can hopefully anticipate objections before they even occur.
I've got a question. I'm feeling a little out of place.
We're the only ones allowed to ask questions.
I'm feeling a little out of place. You know, I'm sitting here listening to Ryan, and he's got DISC certification. He's got all these certifications. Ryan, I need you to do some research for me, buddy. What certification would I have from kicking ass and taking names on the street? Where would we quantify that?
You know what?
I need some help.
You know what you need, Tom? All the certifications I have are worth jack squat unless you can kick ass on the street.
Yes, sir.
And what I mean by that is, people, when they do my bios and introduction speeches, I'm like, that sounds all great. But if you can't do it, don't have the drive, if you don't have the hustle, if you don't have where people are like, man, I'm feeling the energy, Ryan, when you're speaking, then it's worth jack squat. Amen. So what you have and what you're giving back, I come from it from a God's blessed me as well. Amen. And giving back and making a difference. But people can feel it. I can feel it from you. That's the certification called Life. Authentic, real, genuine, making a difference. And that's worth a million times more than any first certification I've gotten.
Amen.
Great question, and I mean it.
Guest questions are not supposed to be better than the host's questions.
Well, sorry.
And that's just part one of our conversation with sales and marketing gurus Tom Pilotti and Ryan Sowers on Gwinnett Business Radio. Stick around. The conversation continues with Tom and Ryan after this commercial break. You're listening to the best of Business Radio X. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X. We now continue our conversation with sales and marketing gurus Tom Pilotti and Ryan Sowers. From an episode of Gwinnett Business Radio, Tom starts off by sharing how companies can double their sales.
Let's give the business owners that are listening some real meat to hang their hat on.
I don't hang my hat on meat.
Do we hang our
depends
hat
on the generation,
meat?
Right?
It's like a ball guy joke, right? I don't know.
Sounds
right.
Like a ball guy joke. Yeah.
So one of the things that you talk about, Tom, is helping companies double their sales. We don't want to give away all your secrets, Ryan and Tom, today, because that's why you guys speak all over the country. But what are some keys or some mistakes that you see companies or CEOs making?
Sure. Let's talk about lead generation. And coming from a media background, it's kind of like, that show that they have on where the magicians come out and they won't show their face because they're sharing everybody's secrets? Well, here's one. So this is worth $1 million to somebody. What happens is when you go out into the world and you want to promote your coffee mugs, but you don't want to go on WSB, you don't want to go on 97.1 The River, and those are free plugs, thank you very much, payable to Tom Pilotti. the fact of the matter is you can buy media at a fraction, and I offer this as one of the seminars that I use. It's how to buy media at 63% off. What happens is media outlets, they will never tell you this because they don't want you to know, is that you can buy preemptible. Remember back in the day you could buy a standby airline ticket? Mm-hmm. Well, that same philosophy works because every media outlet has available space at the 11th hour. So if you know that you can buy a full-page ad in the AJC for $9,500 and you give them a camera-ready ad and you know that if they have one at the 11th hour that you could buy for $2,500, well, you just saved yourself about $5,000. And that holds true with radio, TV, billboards. I've had one of my clients, a car dealership here in Atlanta, buying interstate advertising on billboards that sell for $4,000 a month, paying $350 a week.
All those billboards that say advertise here,
right?
That's lost revenue for that company.
Exactly.
So your advice would be?
Ask for preemptible space.
First.
Correct. And be willing to kind of, I have to be on it between 5 and 5:15. No, you don't, dude.
Be flexible.
It doesn't matter.
And
fact of the matter is, if you have a product that's suitable for overnight times, whatever they have available, you want. Same with billboards.
And like typical in sales, at some point, not everybody's going to go, I'm so glad you asked. I mean,
they don't want you to know.
Right.
Nope.
And they, not everybody will have that, or not everybody
Correct.
Will be willing to talk to you about it, but you find the one that works for you.
You
right?
don't know if you don't ask.
All right. That is very good, actionable advice to a business owner. Ryan, I'm going to pivot to you. One of the areas you really work with businesses on is in their brand.
Right.
Can you give some practical, real-world advice for business owners out there? And I'll give you the full spectrum, whether it's small, large, someone who doesn't have one, someone who needs to improve theirs. Give some practical advice on businesses and their branding.
Well, first of all, people get branding confused with a logo, and that's not what we're talking about. So I always say perception is reality when it comes to your brand. I mean, your brand is not what you say your brand is. Your brand is quite frankly defined by what others say your brand is. So brand is in the eye of the beholder. I like to define the brand as your baseline, if you will, like a barometer reading of your reputation, your attributes. You know, what are the characteristics people think of? Your name, what's in a name? Everything. And your distinctiveness. I mean, how are you different? What do you bring to the table? Would you buy from you? Your brand makes the difference. When people think about you, what do they think about? Whether you're Coca-Cola or a one-person company. And if you're not on the radar, social media, traditional media, you don't exist.
So a good actionable item, if I'm a business owner, if I want to learn more about my brand, it might be call up my 5 to 10 clients that I know will be honest with me and just do an informal survey before you start spending money and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Why do they do business with you? Those are the great questions. They say because it's your integrity. It's because your word is your bond. It's because, and some people can't answer this simple, simple question. In a quick story, I had a friend of mine and he had a company and he said, Ryan, I don't get all this stuff. You're trying to overcomplicate it. You know, I'm a street guy. I hustle. I work hard. I said, all right, man. Why do people do business with you? He's like, my word's my bond. My handshake means something. When stuff goes wrong, I fix it. I do what I say I'm going to do. We're like, bingo. There you go. And that's where people overthink. And if we don't have that brand, what we market and sell is going to be quite confusing.
I feel like we're, Dave Letterman top 10 items.
And for all those younger listeners, go to Google, look up David Letterman.
No kidding.
Have you seen him lately?
He's scary looking.
What's
he looks like Tom Hanks in
Castaway. He needs a razor.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's give him another one. Fact of the matter is a business owner will typically not understand the dynamic of a fresh set of eyes. Let me give you a quick story. When I lived in a house up in Gainesville, Georgia, I had a big old backyard with a fence all the way around it, and I grew bushes all the way around that fence line. And every time I let my two dogs out, and we lived near a big road, so I was fearful, they got out, and I couldn't figure out where they was getting out. Okay, there was somehow, there was a hole under that fence. So what did I do? I went out one day with a chainsaw, and I leveled all those bushes, and I found the hole. So the moral of the story, you can't fix what you can't see. So sales managers being oblivious to star salespeople, not getting their ass out of the car, talking to new people. Churning accounts, yeah, it's an art form, but it's not something that's going to get the ball into the end zone. What Ryan and I bring to the table that a lot of people may or may not buy into is a fresh perspective or a fresh looky-see at your business. People don't like us when we come in, but when we take companies and start quadrupling sales, lead generation going to double and triple, and all of a sudden you're answering the phone and life is good, the dead wood falls away and the profits rise.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. I used to show up at companies all over the country, and I'd show up in my car, and I'd have, you know, if you were up in the Northeast, you'd have a long jacket, and they're like, oh my God, this guy's here to fire everybody. But part of the job, what I teach salespeople is, I mean, this is, you know, it's the old Covey thing, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Are we really even asking questions? And if we are they at the deepest level? And most salespeople go, what'd you learn on that sales call? Oh, you know, I don't know, I forgot. And let's say I'm not there. I didn't ask him that. Well, I didn't go on the sales call, and I know as much as you, which is nothing. The deep listening, the deep acting, I don't ever tell people what they're capable of, but I also tell them, stretch and raise your arm. And I'm like, now really stretch. Everybody goes up 2 or 3 more inches. That's what they're capable of if they dig deep and they follow their strategies of how to do it. Solution sales. Isn't that what all sales is about? Creative solution sales. So we're solving someone's stress. We're making life easier. We're making it more convenient. And we're digging to what's really going on with them.
One thing you hear about sales all the time, it's a numbers game. It is a numbers game. Is that true, or is that a misconception?
I would say one thing to that. It's a quality numbers game. You know, it's not just calling anybody and everybody. You want the right kind of people. So one advice I'll give, and I'll throw it over to him, is look at what your company's already doing well, what niches you focus on and excel in. Don't reinvent the wheel. Go down paths, and also don't go down the road where there's so much competition. It's okay to go down the road less traveled. So the answer to that is look what you're doing in sales. Be intelligent with your time and your effort. We only got 168 hours in the week, no more, no less. And the question I always ask salespeople is, what do you do with your precious 24/7? That's the greatest currency we have, way more than money or anything else on this earth.
You ask people, well, who's your customer? And they always say, everybody. And really, it's not.
Everybody's selling everything to everybody. And if that's your answer, you have absolutely no idea what your target is. You're just shooting up in the sky and going, did I hit a cell phone tower? Did I hit a bird? I have no idea. And that absolutely means marketing, sales, and leadership are not in alignment. You will fail, period.
To piggyback on what Ryan said, I think that probably one of the best tactics that I have to evaluate whether I want to pick up a client, A, if I don't like you, I don't want you. And that's not to be rude or disrespectful. If you're not willing to listen to wise counsel, we're just going to be going in circles, and you're going to be mad because you spent money. You're not instituting what someone has asked you to do to fix things. Here's a million-dollar question for your business owners to ask themselves. Look in the mirror and say, what's keeping me up at night? That's the diagnosis. Okay, what's keeping me up? You know what? These gosh darn salespeople, they're doing nothing but making excuses. Well, then you need help. Because we talked about, you can't fix what you can't see. If you're not out in the car with them, or you're not following through, or you're not giving them effective sales promotion, if you don't give them a story like the old-time newspaper boys on the street, extra, extra, nobody cares.
For the salesperson that's out there, not the owner of the company, but the people that are out there on the streets, and they're hearing you guys, and they're going, you guys have been successful because you guys got that passion, that energy. My personality is not like that. Do they need to get out of the business, or?
They need to go to Walmart. They need to get a roll of those yellow stickers and stand at the door and get a personality. How you doing? Welcome to Walmart.
Bottom line is, sales is not some job title. This is a way of thinking. Everybody is in sales to a certain extent. You can't go in the accounting department and go, someone calls you with the wrong invoice and go, you were a jerk. You need to be in a sales mentality. I'm sorry, how can we make that better? Everybody plays a role in the process. So if you have the title of sales and you don't love what you do and you don't embrace what you do and you don't want to go get training on your own, even if your company doesn't offer it, you need to go find an hourly job somewhere and get the heck out. If I sell a $5 million job, or a $500 job, I'm pumped. And you need to have that energy, you need to have that excitement, and you need to have the vision so your time is being used preciously, precisely, and you're thinking as a marketer while you're a salesperson, and marketers need to think as salespersons, and they come together and they intersect to ultimately be successful. So it's not something you can't accomplish. From day one, when I was 20 years old, I was reading every book I could, going to every seminar I could to learn. And if you pick up one nugget here, one nugget there, and then do it, activate it, try it, and make it your own.
And that's a segment from the weekly show Gwinnett Business Radio, which airs every Thursday at 10 a.m. on Business Radio X. If you want to hear that entire interview or check out any of our past shows, which includes over 5 years' worth of business interviews, visit businessradiox.com, click on the Gwinnett Studio, and then select Gwinnett Business Radio. There's a good chance we've interviewed somebody you know. Well, that's it for now. Business Radio X lets you hear from the top business leaders, executives, managers, and business owners in our communities, allowing them to share their stories of success. Today's interviews are just a few of thousands that you can hear anytime, 24/7, by visiting the voice of business, businessradiox.com. Until next time, I'm Mike Salmon, and this has been North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X.